y'all remember, and I can't say y'all, this is really, I look around it, and I need it one too. Scotty was talking about prosperity, and he was talking about financial prosperity. Beth, I don't know if I need down or little, something's echoing to me.
It's good back here, back here.
Is it? Well, I'm the one that has to deal with it. It's however I want it. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, he was talking about financial prosperity Wednesday night, and I actually thought he was supposed to minister this morning because of the way things went this week, and then yesterday I was sitting on the porch, and all of a sudden, here it come. Because how many knows, unless he leads you, you got nothing. Or I don't know about y'all, I have nothing. Unless I have my blank canvas, unless he starts writing something. So the title this morning is Prosperity and Stewardship. I find a lot of people, they want financial prosperity, and I'm going to be talking mainly about financial prosperity. But a lot of people don't want to know anything about stewardship. But the thing about it is, prosperity or finances can come, but if you don't have stewardship, I don't care if you make $5,000 to $10,000 a week, you can be broke on Monday morning.
Right.
And without stewardship, you probably will be, and that is not the plan of God. That's not the plan of God for bringing finances and things to his people.
Right.
So I looked up some definitions of steward and stewardship. And I'm just going to read them to you right quick. In the Strong's, it says a commissioner, a domestic manager, a guardian. It says economy, a house distributor, manager, or overseer, an employee in that capacity, a treasurer, and figuratively, a preacher of the gospel. Webster's Dictionary steward, a manager of another's financial affairs, a person responsible for maintaining household affairs. Stewardship in the Holman's Bible Dictionary says responsibility to manage all the resources of life for the glory of God, acknowledging God as provider. So if you got your Bible, let's look at Psalm 35. We're just going to read a few scriptures before I actually get to where I'm wanting to go. Right quick. And thank everybody for being praying for me and praying for me last night and this morning. And I always pray for you. I tell the Lord, you know, for those that's been praying for me, bless them, and what they pray for me, return it to their own head. So y'all want to pray good for me, don't you? I'm ensuring my y'all's prayers. Psalm 35, verse 27. It says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Look at Proverbs 10, since we're right here, close. Probably every one of us in here could quote this, because we hear your pastor quote it probably at least 3 or 4 times a month. Verse 22, it says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Now listen to it in the Amplified. It says, the blessing of the Lord, it makes truly rich, and he adds no sorrow with it, neither does toiling increase it. Now look at Deuteronomy 8. Some people think the blessing of the Lord is things, but it's not. Let's see what verse I got. I've got 18 wrote down, but you can go back and read the whole thing. We don't have but 45 minutes here. He's telling them, you know, brings you into the land and all that out there in the wilderness and everything. He says, I fed you with manna, you know, and I did all these things and everything. In verse 16, I guess, talking about himself, he says, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Now notice that. He says power to get it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And I know that he was talking about to the children of Israel. But how many knows he talks to us today? We was a lot of times you can look at them as a type of us. We was out in sin, you know, you could say under the devil and Pharaoh and all that. And then there's stages that God brings each one of us to once we get born again. Some people doesn't, we was all had to be born again because we was all born into sin. But having those, we don't all have always the same kind of problems.
Yeah.
You know, there's some people, the way they grew up, everything in your life influences you,
right.
You know, for good, for bad, you know. It helps if you have very godly parents, you know, and you're raised up in the church and different things like that. And then sometimes, you know, you can have hardship because you wasn't. We all have different kinds of thinking patterns and all that. But how many knows once we get born again, God wants us to think like he thinks.
Right.
He tells us even to think his thoughts. You know, he says, my ways are not your ways. My thought, your thoughts are not mine. And he tells us to come up higher.
Right.
And he tells us we have the mind of Christ once we get born again. We can think his thoughts. But how many knows that takes a little time?
Right.
I don't know about y'all, but I don't always get it on the first go around sometimes. And I know that after I got born again, God didn't start dealing with me about finances right off the bat. I had quite a few other things to deal with, you know, before we got to that part. Now, Scotty, we hadn't been saved all that long, and God, you know, not right off the bat, but began to deal with him about financial prosperity and different things like that. You know, he was embarrassing. They would take up tithes and offerings and all that, and we don't know anything about that. You know, we wasn't raised in church. I think he went to church more than I did or whatever. But how many know sometimes even if you're raised in church, you don't get everything because it's supposed to be coming by revelation through the Spirit, you know, is how you actually get it. But anyway, they would pass the offering, you know, Sunday morning, take up tithes and offerings, you know, and it would come by and he would throw in a dollar and the look on his face would be like, good. But I'm sitting there and I'm like, God, this is so embarrassing. I don't know why that was so embarrassing to me. I don't know. Say you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you once you get born again. There was just something bothered me about that dollar. There was just something on the inside of me thought, this is not right. I don't know what is right, but this is not right. But anyway, we go on, you know, he drives a truck at the time whenever we get born again, so he would listen to a lot of preachers on the radio while he's hauling materials and different things like that, and most of y'all have heard the story, a guy come on there and he's talking about tithes and offerings over there in Malachi 3. Well, one problem that Scotty had was money. Hey, he was born, you know, into a family of 17, you know, and y'all know what it takes just to feed and clothe one or two, you know, much less you've got 17. Now, they all didn't live at home at the same time, you know, because they were so age different and all of that or whatever. But anyway, he was born into a family of 17, you know, his family was farmers, and I think at one time his mama worked at a cafe or run a cafe or something like that, and they just didn't have very much. You know, commodities was the highlight of his life, that government cheese and stuff and everything, you know. So he had a lot of poverty thinking. And his thinking was that as he's coming up and after we get married, you know, and even after we get born again for a while, his thinking was, I can never have anything unless I steal it or I borrow it from the bank. There's just no other way. In his thinking, he could not see another way. But how many knows God always has another way?
Amen.
Now, you got to go his way if you're going to obtain it, because he has a way for it.
Right.
But that was his thinking. So, I mean, after we got saved, you know, we still went in debt and different things like that, and to the point to where one time, I mean, we are just slap overloaded. We live from paycheck to paycheck. By Sunday, we are broke. You know, and all that. And God began to deal with him about that. And then later on, he began to deal with me about that. Because how many knows, God says, Jesus said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly.
Right.
Now, he's talking about your spirit, your soul, your body. I mean, Zoe kind of life, more than enough peace, more than enough joy. But at the same time, he wants our needs to be met. He also needs us to have finances. Why? Because if we have finances here in the earth, if we don't like what they're doing over there in Blountsville, you know, at the red light, we buy it. You know what I'm saying? If it's ours, then it's God's. No, we don't do that without his leading. But y'all know what I'm saying, right? I can't do that without finances.
Yes. Right.
So I need finances. And also, having finances, I can also at different times, sometimes it doesn't take money to bless people. Just like Johnny going and helping Scotty and Travis yesterday, that was a blessing to Scotty. You know, and it didn't take money other than, I guess, you gas to get over there and back or whatever. But then sometimes you use financial things, you know, money to be a blessing to people. So let's look at Matthew 6. See, I can have the best water pressure in the world, and I think I do as far as all of the water pressure that I have seen in my lifetime. I told you, our hoses, if you got the nozzle on, it better stay opened up, because even after you turn the water off, there's still like so much pressure on that, it blows a hole at the end of it every time. So I can have all the water pressure in the world, turn my bathtub on, but I'm not going to be able to take a bath unless I stop the tub up. It's the same way with financial prosperity. You may have $5,000 to $10,000 a week coming in, or you may only have $300 or $400 a week coming in. But if you don't put this plug in there, if you don't put the stopper in there, which is on your flesh, oh, y'all didn't say nothing. On my flesh, on my little desires of what I think and I want and all of that, I'm never going to accumulate any kind of wealth. And God has a purpose for wealth. But here in Matthew 6, now I got wrote down here just one verse, but I don't want to read just that one verse. I don't want to read all of that either. Let's just pick it up here in verse 25. He says, therefore I say unto you, take, now he was talking about money and treasures and things before he got to this. Take no thought for your life, excuse me, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. It is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? I've said it before, you know, you never see a robin or jaybird or whatever out there on the power line, and he's just chewing up his toenails, you know, so worried about where his next worm's coming from.
Right.
We're not supposed to be either. He says, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Now, the blessing of the Lord, he says, toiling does not increase it.
Right.
He says here, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Where if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? So we never want to leave faith out of this, confidence and trust in God.
Amen.
He says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But this is the key verse. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Now I'm going to read that verse in the Amplified. It says, but seek, aim at, and strive after first of all his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. And then all these things taken together will be given you besides. This is one of the things that I don't see a whole lot of people put the focus on. A lot of times we put the focus at the wrong place. Because, see, it's not the things that we should be going after. It's not, you know, even that God provides it and all of that stuff or whatever. He says for us to be seeking the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. Don't leave that out.
Amen.
God's way of doing and being right.
Amen.
Now, let's look at, your glasses back on. Proverbs 13. If you read the Bible, God's word will tell you what his way of doing and being right is.
Right.
If you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you that'll lead you and guide you into all truth, lead you into what's right, tell you what's wrong. Right?
Yeah.
Verse 22. It says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Now, you hear that quoted or taught on or whatever, and a lot of times the crowd just goes wild. Woo! Yay! Listen to it in the Amplified. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance of moral stability and goodness to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner finds its way eventually into the hands of who? The righteous, for whom it was laid up. Now, when you get born again, you become the righteousness of God because of what Jesus Christ has done. But now, does that mean that everybody that's got born again is seeking his righteousness, seeking first his kingdom and his way of doing and being right? Then it's not coming to you. It's not coming to me. See, I can't do people wrong and expect for God to increase my finances. Why? It says, love, God is love, and love, which is God, does no ill to his neighbor. Right? I can't treat people wrong all the time. See, what we like to do sometimes is kind of like compartmentalize all of our stuff in our life. Like, put my money in a neat little category over here. Put my love walk in a neat little category over here. Put my forgiveness in a neat little category over here. And think none of these others affect any others. That's how come I can't give you necessarily just 10 points to financial wealth. Because you've got all this stuff in your life every day, all day long, where you've got the Word supposed to show you and the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You know, just like I've heard Christians stand up in churches and testify. They went to the bank, cashed a check. They gave them an extra $100. They found it out before they got out of the parking lot. You know what they said? Woo, thank you, it's the blessing of the Lord. No, it ain't, the devil just robbed you. How'd he rob me? I got $100. It's going to come out somewhere because you knew that's not your money.
Yeah.
You're a thief. God doesn't bless thieves.
Amen.
And there are no fake checks.
Yep.
That's criminal.
Yep.
Y'all not saying nothing. That's criminal. You will go to jail for that. If you don't believe me, go to Waytonum out there and try it. You will absolutely go to jail, or you'll pay whatever it is and it'll cost you more. God's not into that.
Right.
See, we have to get our thinking in line with God's thinking. Now, I know what it is to walk and live by faith. And it's not for me to write a check that I know I don't have the money for.
Right.
Like I said, that's criminal way of thinking. Therefore, that's not God's way of thinking. So I have to change that kind of thinking with God's Word and His Spirit on the inside of me.
Right.
Because drug addicts have a way they think.
Right.
That other people doesn't have. Criminals have a way that they think. Thieves have a way that they think that other people doesn't have. Christians are supposed to have a way that they think, which is the way God thinks about things. Now, I'm talking about thinking patterns, just not necessarily a random thought, but thinking patterns or whatever. Just like this, before we got born again, we had next to nothing most of the time, except every now and then we would or whatever. But anyway, when we didn't have enough money, it's still something, which Scotty would. I wasn't into that stealing junk, you know, that's just not for me. It's still something, borrow something, sell something. Well, how many knows then once you get up born again and you get over here into the kingdom of God, my heart is different and some of my thinking is even different. And my heart, I want to do the right thing when I find out what the right thing is. But how many knows when that happens, the first thing my mind is going to do is going to revert back for the same thing that I have been doing for 20-something years of my life.
Right.
Now, God's Spirit and His Word can change that, just like that was our habit or whatever. Well, it come up after we got saved. We'd been saved a while, and it come up or whatever, and Scotty had a trailer. You know, he has his own business, so he needs a trailer, one of those 16-foot trailers or whatever. So he comes in, you know, and we need some money and all that, you know, and he says, well, I guess I'll sell that trailer. And I asked him, and it was just the Holy Ghost. I said, what are you going to sell next month?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't got nothing to sell next month, Johnny, because all you had this month was a trailer.
Right.
And you go and you say, see, that's not the way God does things.
Right.
Now, we trust God, we believe God, and He has a way of financially prospering us. But unless that gets out of you, you're not going to accumulate any kind of wealth.
Right.
Why? Because instead of trusting God and doing the things that He says for us to do, we revert back to taking care of ourselves, you know, all this other stuff, what we've always done before. Now, let's look at I guess we'll look at that one. Or Beth, you could just put it up for us. 1 Corinthians 4:1-2. Well, I may want to read that in Amplified too. Some of them I do. It breaks it really good. Verse 1, it says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ. Now, when I read stewards, remember a while ago it said the steward of the gospel of Christ? It says, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Amplified Bible says, moreover, it is essentially required of stewards that a man should be found faithful, proving himself worthy of trust. Now, look at Romans 13. Since we're over here. Before you get much prosperity that God sends your way or whatever, you'll have to be proven in that one.
Right.
What do I mean by that? There's tests when you don't have any finances. There's different kinds of tests when you do have finances. You know, you hear people say, you know, well, I'll tithe when I have it, when I get more money. No, you don't understand.
Right.
Your disobedience is stopping more from coming because you take faith and you trust God. He said to do it and have a right heart, be cheerful to do it, and God will bless it. He'll bring more. But like I said, he says if you don't, then you're a robber. You're robbing from him. He's not going to bless people with things that robs from him. But anyway, I was reminded this morning of a little story. Now, y'all heard the story about a couple of times that we got to the point over the years that even pastoring this church that got down to there is no more meals. There's like a can of cream of mushroom soup, I think, and a half a jar of peanut butter in the cabinet, and that's it. We had eaten our last meal or whatever. No money or anything like that. Well, anyway, it was picture time. At the time, Travis, he's 16. And his pictures had come in, you know, and as a parent, you always want to buy the pictures, you know, even if you just have to do the little bitty package that they get. And I can remember that I'm digging around for change to buy his pictures, and the church bank bag is laying on my table. Y'all not saying nothing. And I'm looking in the cars, I'm looking in the couch and all this stuff, and I finally get up enough change. I mean, that's embarrassing to send the change to school with him for the pictures or whatever. But the church bank bag is laying there, and I even have the thought I could borrow. You know, I'm certainly not going to steal from God, but God, I could borrow, you know, enough for this or whatever. But I said, no, it's not mine, and I can't borrow it.
Amen.
I can't use it. I can't borrow it. It's not mine. So therefore, like I said, you must be found trustworthy.
Right.
See, there's some people that I'm telling you that I know, I wouldn't let you hold a dollar of mine.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I love you. Listen, I'm talking all over the place, and I didn't say you're here in this building. I'm just saying. You know whether I'd let you hold a dollar or not, probably. But anyway, there's some people I would not trust them to hold $1 of mine, because when I go back to get my dollar, I already know they're not going to have my dollar. Why? They never have one of their dollars, and they're spending everybody else's. So you're not going to hold my dollar for me. I don't even have all my money in the bank. Now, Scotty puts all his in the bank, just about except what he keeps in his billfold. I don't need the bank to take care of my money.
Right.
Thank you, Johnny. I don't need the bank to take care of my money.
That's right.
I could have some buried in my yard for all y'all know. Now, it's a big yard, so don't get no bright ideas about coming looking for nothing just because I said that. But some people, you know, they think they need that. I have a bank account, sure, and I have a little bit of money in there, but I use that to just mail bills and different things like that. But see, what I'm getting to, there was a time... Oh, Lord, did I need somebody to take care of any money if I ever had any?
Right.
But that's what I'm talking about this morning, is you grow and you develop. I mean, really, if you've been saved 10 or 15 years, your first thought should not be every time you need something, go into the bank.
Right.
Now, don't nobody get condemned if you're in debt. I'm in debt myself. I'm almost out. We've been working on it for years, working with God and learning and sacrifice and paying extra, whatever it is, that and things that the Lord would lead us to do. I mean, there was times that he led us to sell some things. You know, Scotty had a truck that we was making payments on, and we had just got ourselves so far in debt or whatever. And God told him, he said, sell that. Well, the next day, he went to the parts store, walks in the door, and I think it was his wife. Not Scotty's wife, that's me. But anyway, what's her name? Maxine? Is that what her name was? The parts house guy's wife. Y'all know down there, whatever. I can't think now what that was.
Marcia.
Yeah, that's it. Good, Johnny. Anyway, and she starts talking to him about, Willie is looking for a truck. He says, well, I got a truck. She says, well, he's wanting a diesel. He said, it's a diesel. Well, he's wanting, what was it, four-wheel drive? He wants four-wheel drive. I got a four-wheel drive. Well, I think he wants silver. He said, it's silver. See, even if you make mistakes, if you'll repent and change and begin to obey God, he'll help you get out.
Yeah.
Will it be easy on your flesh? Absolutely not, because yielding to the flesh is how a lot of us got in the messes that we did and not disciplining ourselves. Now y'all made me forget where I'm going. Y'all know? Didn't we read that?
No.
Oh, well. Y'all are sharp today. It's a good thing I need help. Y'all know what verse it was?
7 and 8.
Yeah, y'all are good. Yep, okay, let's read verse 7. He says, render therefore, now this is talking about when you start out obeying the authorities that is placed over you and all that. It says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Now listen to it in the Amplified. He says, render to all men their dues, pay taxes to whom taxes are due, revenue to whom revenue is due. Don't be lying on your income tax. I didn't say that. Don't be lying on your income taxes. Don't be lying to get no food stamps. Why do I say that? Because we read over there in Matthew 6, verse 33, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. God is not a liar. He never has been and he never will be. And us as his people are not supposed to be liars.
Amen.
See, just like me. Now, Dee does my taxes, so she would know, you know, if we're in some kind of fraud or not doing right or whatever. She goes to church here. You know, I don't think she'd go to church here and do our taxes if we was lied about stuff or whatever, you know, and everything. So the way that it works, Scotty has a lot of deductions he can take, he can use, or he doesn't have to use. You know what I'm saying? So she works that to keep him in a certain bracket. Say, I mean, he just spends a lot on gas in a year. Well, he doesn't have to use all of that as a deduction if he doesn't want to. Or I don't have to use what we give to the church here as a deduction if I don't have to. But at the same time, in order to stay in a certain bracket or whatever, if I take off more deductions, and what I don't pay in as much. But if I want to stay in a certain bracket, then I have to not use quite as many deductions or whatever. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? But we shouldn't be lying about our taxes. If you got money, you should turn it in if you're ordered to turn it in. Why? Because God's not going to get involved with your life. I need God to help me pay my taxes.
Right.
I pay in every year. I think we've paid in every year since Travis turned 17, 16 or 17. Sometimes it's not quite as much as others, but I want him involved in my taxes. Why? Because I need him to help me.
Yeah.
Y'all know y'all not going to get out of not paying the IRS.
Right.
It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Two things the world says is coming, death and taxes. So I need God to help me. But God's not going to get involved with me and helping me if I'm lying or trying to fraud the government or something like that. God's not going to help me in lying to the food stamp people so I can get more food stamps. If I needed more food stamps, I could get more food stamps. You qualify. I'm not saying food stamps is wrong, but you qualify for whatever you qualify for. I was reminded of this just now. Travis, he's a kid, and when he was real little or whatever, he had Medicaid because Scotty didn't make that much money or whatever. Well, then they switched to Scotty started making better. We started prospering a little bit, you know, doing what the Lord told us to do and everything. So then they switched him from that because he has to turn all that in, you know, his income taxes every year to them at the time. So then he started doing better. So then they switched it to all kids. Well, it come a time to where that was fixing to have to be renewed. And all of a sudden, it come up in my spirit, rich people's kids are not on all kids.
Right.
And I thought, rich people's kids are not on all kids. I thought, well, I'm rich. Now, why are we saying we're rich? We're not rich as far as what the world standards is rich, but God calls us rich.
Right.
And what is he doing? He's leading me into trusting him and getting off the government.
Right.
Not saying that if you're on Medicaid or all kids, or it's wrong or whatever. The Lord will lead you as he leads you or whatever. So I told Scotty, the Lord said that, I forgot my train of thought now.
Rich kids don't on all kids.
Rich people's kids don't, they're not on all kids or whatever. So I told him about it, you know, and he was a little bit like, we're learning and we're growing.
Yeah.
And we're having to learn to trust God more and more and more. It's like taking little baby steps, you know. Then you get the bigger steps and all this stuff. I mean, if he just throwed everything on you at one time, it would just blast you away. You know, he knows what he's doing and everything. So I didn't renew the all kids. Not one time did that boy ever get sick and need to go to the doctor that the Lord did not provide for him to go to the doctor. Not one time in his growing up after that did he ever need any kind of medicine or anything. I mean, one time he swallowed a piece of peppermint, and 3 weeks later he's hollering, tell me I need to take him to the emergency room. Man, that's funny. Because I reckon it had scared him so bad till he just kind of got a complex or something. So he keeps on and on. I mean, so the Lord paid for that, what do you call it, that barium swallow test thing or whatever. We didn't have any insurance. The Lord provided for that. You know, whatever it was that he needed, God provided for it.
Amen.
But see, what he done is he brought the word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. But now I have to mix my faith with what he said. Then he brings about whatever he says.
Right.
So therefore, after that, he was never on any kind of government assistance. And like I said, I'm not saying if you're on that, it's wrong or whatever. But how many knows? The Bible says he takes us from faith to faith. And I'm not just talking about blaming God for money or a car or whatever. Every area of my life is on a level of faith. And God is endeavoring to take me to, in every area of my life, another level of faith.
Right.
And one level of glory to another level of glory. But he can't do it by himself. I have to work with him.
Right.
I have to yield to him. I have to listen to him. Did we read all that Romans 7? Oh, yeah. I remember now, owe no man anything. Let me read an Amplified. Verse 8, he says, keep out of debt and owe no man anything except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor, who practices loving others, has fulfilled the law relating to one's fellow men, meeting all its requirements. Now notice that he says, keep out of debt and owe no man nothing. And y'all didn't say a word. I did not hear one amen.
Amen.
This is a big problem in the body of Christ. The Bible says that the borrower is subject, which means slave, to the lender. A lot of us, and I'm not just talking to everybody in this room, a lot of us, one reason why we can't give into the kingdom of God is because we're so far in debt. And we look at tithing and giving as a last. That's not God's order of doing things. Right? He said, seek first his kingdom. He says over there in Malachi, bring the tithe. The tithe, the meaning of tithe is the tenth. If you've made 10 cents so far Monday morning on your job, God gets a penny of that.
Right.
I mean, and how selfish is that?
Mm-hmm.
That God only asked for 1 cent and I get to keep 9, but that's still not enough for me, Johnny.
Right.
Yep.
I need that one more little cent. Or God asked for $10 out of my 100. And I get to keep the 90, but no, God, I've got to have $10 more.
Mm-hmm.
And see, we're supposed to be trusting God. I mean, I'm not talking about doing it legalistically or whatever. We should be so thankful. God has done so much for every person in this room. Even if you had no financial prosperity that he's brought or health or anything, thank God you're not going to hell anymore.
Amen.
Right.
You know, thank God you're born again, you're saved, you know. And I'm not counting all this other stuff that he adds to us, because everything, all of it's a package deal, my health, you know, and all of it goes together. So that's very selfish for me to think, well, I'm sorry, God, I didn't have none left over. Well, do you have a cell phone?
Yeah.
You got internet on it, so you Facebook. Was that Monty saying get on? Monty, ain't you got a phone?
Yeah.
You told me to get to him and you got a phone. Oh, we got to pray for Monty. He was saying get him like he ain't got wood. Oh, my goodness. Monty, you can just be quiet, Monty. No, I'm just kidding. But I mean, seriously.
That's right.
I mean, I know people, they ain't got no car. They ain't got nowhere to live. They spend $100 a day on drugs and they got a cell phone. I can't figure that out. Are you doing stuff that you're not supposed to be doing?
Right.
Then they quit doing the drugs, but then they can't get a job and go do nothing. I don't understand that either. How are you smoking up or shitting up or whatever you do in $400 or $500 a week, then you get born again and you can't work and pay bills? Y'all come on, please. Don't even send that over here, because I'm not falling for that. Now, I know you, whenever you're over there doing all that, it may be illegal what you're doing to get your money and all that. But then when you come over here and you get off of all that, listen, I have never seen a time in my lifetime that you can go to McDonald's and make $9 to $15 an hour, and they're begging you to come over and flip the hamburger.
Right.
If you don't have a job today, it's because you don't want one.
Right.
Now, I didn't say you had one doing what you wanted to do. But a job is a job is a job. You get you a job and let the Lord lead you wherever he needs to. You start tithing and you start giving in your offerings. You start being a blessing to people. And I'm telling you right now, God will raise you up. That's the way he does it. But the thing about us is we can't have selfish hearts. The Bible says the generous soul or the liberal soul will be made fat. Ain't talking necessarily about me, but now y'all can tell I don't go to the grocery store with a calculator no more. I just get way too much. And Scotty is worse than me. I told him 3 things to get at the grocery store yesterday because I hadn't been able to go. And he comes in. I mean, he's like this with bags. 3 bags of tater chips, 2 bags of dip, I mean, 2 cans of dip, sausage and bacon, and I think ham. And I'm like, oh, what is all this? Y'all pray for me. I need help. I got to get to the grocery store myself. I go to the grocery store and spend $300 and come in and Scotty's looking in the can like, well, where's the food at? And I'm like, is it broccoli in the freezer? Oh, my goodness. How do we get off on all that? Oh, yeah. I'm fat. I give a lot. I tithe and I give a lot. And God over the years has so blessed me, you know. I mean, that's embarrassing to go to the calculator. Oh, my goodness, Lord help me. Go to the store with the calculator. And it's even worse if you got to put something back because you miscalculated.
Right.
But you are wherever you are. But the thing about it is, once you get born again and you start following God and you yield to him and you obey him in your finances, and not just in finances, in other things. If you borrow somebody's vehicle and you damage it, thank you, Doris. If you borrow somebody's vehicle and you damage it, the damage is your fault. You're supposed to do what? Hey, look, I'm sorry, man. I can't help it. You know, thank you. And out the door you go. Are you serious? And you expecting to get more money. It's not going to happen. Why? Because love does no ill to its neighbor, and faith and love go together. I believe it's Galatians says faith works by love. So I can't be doing people wrong. I can't be expecting people to give me money and their stuff all the time and me be stingy, and I'm not the one doing it. You have a lot of people now today, even in the church, they act like you owe them something. They act like the church owes them something. Well, I paid my tithes for 10 years faithfully. Well, whoop-dee-doo.
Right.
You didn't give it to me. You're supposed to be giving it to God.
Right.
Now, I guess if he wants you to have some of it, he'll speak to one of us or... You or something other, right?
Yep.
This is going real good. I'm enjoying myself. But I mean, seriously, we have a lot of messed up people in the world. And the world is bad messed up. And a lot of Christians are messed up. And God doesn't want us to be messed up. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to have more than enough so we can be a blessing to other people. We can do things in his kingdom and all of that. But he has a way that we have to go about it. And I believe that's what he's doing for us this morning, is so he can get more to us. Because I'm talking about financial prosperity. I mean, and there's all kinds of different prosperity. This is just the one that I felt this morning. Let's look at, well, it says there to stay out of debt. This was a big one for Scotty. Because he had the mentality of, I can never have anything if I don't steal it or borrow from the bank. That was his only way he could see it prosper. But over the years, God brought him the scriptures and gave him revelation in his heart, and he would obey, and he started tithing, and he started giving, you know, to wherever the Lord said to give and different things like that, and he started growing. Do you understand this stuff comes little by little?
Yes.
Little by little. You do this little here, God will add more. You don't do that little there. God doesn't promote the second grade till you actually pass the first.
Right.
He's not the teacher that just got tired of you being in the class when you got a mustache. You know, he's not like that. Oh, my goodness. Now I lost my train of thought again. Oh, yeah. So God started dealing with him. You're going to have to make a commitment to get out of debt and to stop borrowing. You're never going to get out of debt if you don't make a commitment to not borrow anything else. Why? Washing machine's going to tear up. Baby needs a new pair of shoes. You know, hours are going to be cut down at work. There's going to be something that the enemy will use in your little flesh to say, I've got to. Right. And believe you me, over the years, there's been a lot of stuff that come up, especially Scotty and his own business, something tear up. And, you know, I mean, stuff like that is $4,000 to $5,000. I mean, the truck's about $13,000. You know, that stuff he needs for working is not cheap or whatever. So there's always going to be a reason, but you're going to have to go before the Lord, before him, and make a commitment to him, I'm done.
Right.
If I can't get it by trusting you and believing you and letting you bring it, then evidently I don't need it.
Right.
And once you make that commitment, you stay with it. And I'm telling you right now, God will honor that commitment, and he will help you. He will help you get out of debt. He'll send extra finances. He'll send extra hours at work. He'll have people just walk up and give you money possibly at different times. Somebody right. gave Johnny some and said he didn't even need it.
Right.
Or he thought he didn't at the time.
Exactly.
God's just good like that. He pours out blessings on the upright, right?
Yeah, right.
One more thing before we close, because we only got like 2 minutes. I got another half a page here, but we ain't got time for all that. Let's see which one I wanted to go to. Philippians 4. All right, for time's sake, I'm not going to read this whole thing. But he's talking about here people that was given into his ministry and everything. And for a time, they wasn't. And then now they are again. He says, verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, talking about their gift or whatever. He says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. What he's talking about there, whether I have enough to eat, don't have enough to eat, pay my bills, not, it doesn't move me. I'm not disquieted. I'm not worried. I don't get it in a panic or anything.
Right.
He says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate, and that's talking about giving, with my affliction. Let me go over here to the Amplified because I don't have time to read it both. It says, but it was right and commendable and noble of you to contribute for my needs and to share my difficulties with me. And you Philippians yourselves well know that in the early days of the gospel ministry when I left Macedonia, no church assembly entered into partnership with me and opened up a debit and credit account in giving and receiving except you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent me contributions for my needs not only once but a second time. Not that I seek or am eager for your gift, but I do seek and am eager for the fruit which increases to your credit, the harvest of blessing that is accumulating to your account.
But I have your full payment and more. I have everything I need and am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent me. They are the fragrant odor of an offering and sacrifice which God welcomes, in which he delights. And my God, we'd like to quote this one, but we're not in partnership. Y'all got to remember what the context of this is. It says, and my God will liberally supply, fill to the full, your every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now, in case you don't know it, Brother Day has a partnership ministry. Once a month, he writes a, I don't know if you call it a newsletter, or anyway, he writes you a letter and sends you a CD. Is it still $25 a month? Is your partnership thing still $25 a month?
20.
20? Okay, 20 a month. Now, that's good running. I didn't say this because Brother Day was here. Actually, the Lord led me to that scripture, and then I thought about, Brother Day's going to be in the service. But do you realize what he's saying there? He says, after all of those that are in his partnership, he says, my God. Do you not think the Apostle Paul has seen God meet his needs?
Right.
And he says, my God, the one that I serve, the one I know, is going to supply all of your needs because you help supply and contribute to mine. Now, our time has already passed. I've got to stop. Does anybody have anything?